So let's review. The Gemara begins with a question based on the opinion of Beis Hillel in the Mishnah. Meisa, nochasim becheskasam, ksuba becheskas yirsha abal, nochasim anachnasim, ayitzima becheskas yirsha av. If the Shemer's Yavman dies, the Yavman inherits her ksuba, and her family inherits her nechse meluk. Hibaylahu, Shemer's Yavman shemesa mi kaivra. If a Shemer's Yavman dies, who pays for her kvura? Does the Yavman pay because he inherited her ksuba? Or does our family pay because they inherited her nechse meluk? The Gemara presents a brayso which states, Tanya shemeres yavim shemesa, yersheha yershe ksubasa chayav mikvurasa. The yavim who inherits her ksuba must pay for her kvura. Abaye says that there are two ways of explaining this halacha of halayavim lekaivra. Based on the machlekes beishamayu beisil, beisil hold that nitna ksuba ligvis michayim. This means that we say that once the husband dies, the ksuba is seen as belonging to his wife, and therefore the yavam is receiving it from the yavama. Therefore we say, memonafshach, im achiv yerish yikveres ishtoi, im eino kveres ishtoi yitin ksubasa. The yavam must pay for the kvura for two reasons. He is inheriting his brother, and is considered in place of his brother. Therefore he must pay for the kvura just like his brother. If he would not be considered in place of his brother, he would have to pay her ksuba from the brother's estate. And since he does not, it's as if he receives that money from the Shemeres Yavam, for which he becomes obligated to pay for a kvura. It can also be explained according to Bishamai, who hold loydin the ksubas likbis mechaim. This means that we don't see the ksubas belonging to the wife, and therefore the Yavam is receiving it from his brother and not the Yavama. Nevertheless, the Yavam must pay for a kvura, because Bishamai also holds shtar oimid ligavis kigavu dame. A shtar in which property is meshubah to a creditor is considered as if it has already been collected, and that the property is considered to belong to the creditor. It's only that if the debtor pays with money that the property no longer belongs to the creditor. In this case, the ksuba is seen as belonging to the Shemeres Yavam. Therefore, even according to Bishamai, we say that the Yavam is receiving the ksuba from the Yavama, for which he becomes obligated to pay for our kvura. The Gemara proceeds to discuss another issue. Generally, kol nechasav acharein leksubasa, all the properties of the husband are meshubah to the ksuba. However, if he is meyachad la l'ksubasa, he designates a certain property to be set aside from which to eventually collect l'ksuba, the other properties are not meshubah to the ksuba. However, it's not advisable to do that, as the Mishnah in the previous daf taught, l'yamer l'harik ksubasaych menachas al ha'shulchan, and l'kol mechazav acharon l'ksubasa. The Yavam may not tell the Yavama that he is designating a certain item or property for her ksuba, and selling the rest of the assets he inherited from his brother. The Gemara here explains Eitzot Teva Kamashma. It's not advisable to do that for two reasons. As Rashi explains, Shemi Yevdu HaMetalim Menimtzis Shalei Belei Ksuba V'tzarech Lifte Ksuba Acheres. The designated items might get lost. As the Gemara says, Mishum Eva. And as Rashi explains, the Savra Einav Nesim Begirishin. She will think that he's planning to divorce her, and this will cause animosity between them. Similarly, the Gemara cites a Braisa, which, for the same reasons, rules regarding a yavam. Afa pisha ksubasa ein elamano lo yimker, shekol nechasav acharein leksubasa. Therefore, in order to avoid eva, Rabbi Abba gives the following etza. Haraitza sheyimker benachasa benichse achav ketzeru aisa. If the yavam wants to sell some of the properties of his deceased brother, im yisrael hu megarish veget viachzer. If it's a yisrael, he should divorce her and then remarry her. This way, she will know that the divorce was only to be able to sell the estate. Kayin hu, yasasu de bifais. And if he's a kayin and won't be able to remarry her if he divorces her, he should make a suda to appease her to consent to designate one property for her kesuba and sell the rest. In the event that the yavam did sell the properties without her consent, the Gemara cites a machlekes whether the sale is valid. Rav Yosef says, kivin de amir rabbanan le lizvin, avagav de zavin, lo habizvini zvini. Since the Chacham said not to sell it, therefore even if he did sell it, the sale is not valid. Abaye disagrees and says, Zvine, Zvine, the sale is valid. And he supports it from the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak. Ha'isha shenaflo nechasa Mishnah sarsa, bisham yaymrim timker, ubisil yaymrim loy timker. Elu v'elu maidim shemachar benas nekayim. We see according to Beis Hillel that even though the Chacham said lo yimker, if she sold it, the sale is valid. Rav Yosef cites a braisa that supports his opinion. The braisa teaches that if the yavam owed money to his deceased brother, lo yomer hoil v'shani yoyrish hachzakti, elamitzi me yavam v'yikach ben karka lo'echo peres. We see that he cannot keep the money of the debt, which is the equivalent of a sale. However, the Gemara concludes that this brisa is not reliable, because the only way to understand the brisa is if it follows both the opinion of Reb Meir and Reb Nosson. Reb Meir holds metatlin mishavdi l'ksuba, therefore he must pay back the loan even though it's metatlin. Reb Nosson holds what is known as shibudid Reb Nosson. If A owes money to B, and B owes money to C, C can collect directly from A. Here too, the Yavam owes money to his deceased brother, and the deceased brother owes the ksuba to the Yavama. We compel the Yavam to pay the debt. However, the problem with this is that loyashkechan tana demachmer trei chomer b'ksuba. Since the whole ksuba is only midrabanan, we do not treat it so strictly as to implement a din which is only applicable if we will follow two strict opinions.